Hey, this is Greg Berger, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to episode 173 of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me for today's episode is Ladies First Hard Candy Mandy.
Hey. I miss Matt.
Move your old Dan. Hello.
I'm not Matt. Sorry.
And we are down one Fridley Cent today because during his vacation week, he saw Solo 4 times and Deadpool 0 times. So he is not here to talk about Deadpool, but we are. We're talking about Deadpool 2. But don't worry, Matt will be back to give you his extensive and well-thought-out thoughts on Solo, A Star Wars Story, at some point in the very near future. So,
as someone who picked Solo as their number one draft pick in our box office draft way back when, I appreciate Matt
trying to give you some love.
One for me, and trying to build it up. So,
I just reviewed the part where we did our actual picks to see, because I couldn't remember who was on whose team as far as movies go. And I'm a little disappointed at a couple of my picks already, so it's not looking like I thought it was going to when we did that episode, that's for sure. A certain animated film I picked did not do well, another sci-fi film I picked did not do well, so Amanda picked a film that we're going to have to insert special rules for because it then decided to flip the script and release directly to Netflix, so that didn't make any money. So,
made no monies.
I mean, no theater monies. So it's going to be interesting when we get all said and done. But yeah, the Star Wars love is not, at least not right away, happening for Solo in that the box office, according to Star Wars standards, I should say. It's doing fine as far as movie standards. Wouldn't you say, Dan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, a little disappointing for me personally, just because, you know, I was hoping it. I kind of regret. I, again, underestimated Deadpool, but I still got Incredibles. It was my number two, so.
I still think you got a very solid team, Dan. You got a lot of, you don't have a miss in there, I don't think. Whereas I clearly had two with Ready Player One and Sherlock Gnomes, so that was not pretty. And Matt, so far, has the lead pick with his Black Panther, which is still, at this point, I believe, still ahead of Avengers by a substantial amount. I mean, Avengers could catch it, but it would have its work cut out for it. So we'll have to wait and see how the rest of the films that have yet to be released, which is most of Amanda's picks outside of, you had another miss too, the Super Troopers 2 did not make any money. So that will
they
hurt you as well.
Spent all the money on weed instead of going to the movies.
But we are not here to talk about all those films. We are here to talk about Deadpool 2. And we're going to start, ladies first, with this one. Amanda, why don't you first relive the hate that you sent the original chapter in this film franchise and let everybody know what your thoughts were on the original Deadpool, and then transition into what your thoughts were at Deadpool 2 in comparison.
Well, I was not prepared for a memory section of today's podcast. specifics, I don't know what the hell I said, except I didn't like the strip club scene, and it was way too much, like, I don't know. I don't think they used rated R and, you know, it, to its full potential. It was too, I don't know, chauvinistic, maybe? We'll say that. But I still went to see the second one.
So what did you think of Deadpool 2?
I liked it a lot better than the first one. I think it had a lot more heart. Some of the original jokes were back, but they kind of, you know, upped the ante a little bit. Instead of tiny hands, it was tiny something else. And, you know, Dopinder decided to go full on a rogue badass in this, and I think that, the new story surrounding him being more of the anti-hero, not just saving something with his own interest, but, you know, reaching out to somebody else and making a different connection and helping them in a way to become that, you know, anti-hero, to make you say, all right, well, he's not so bad.
So overall, more positive on this one.
I would say I liked.
As far as opening thoughts.
Yeah, I think that, you know, all around it was quite a bit of the same, but it did have its improvements.
Dan, we were a little bit more positive on the initial chapter in this franchise. So what were your thoughts of Deadpool 2 in comparison? Did you think it was a lot of the same, an improvement, or diminishing returns?
I think it was a good mixture of old and new. I think it's tough doing a comedy sequel. You know, Deadpool is in a weird situation when it comes to be a comic book sequel, in the sense of it also is a comedy, probably comedy first, and we all know that comedy sequels don't tend to work because you're trying to relive or recapture that same magic, and it's a little bit difficult. So I don't think it's probably as fresh and as exciting as the first Deadpool, because it just couldn't be. It's a case of diminishing returns. But I think they maybe realized that. They realized, okay, we're not going to be able to kind of rest on our, you know, our comedic chops. We're going to have to add into a little bit something new. And I think it's a little bit more ambitious. As Amanda mentioned, I think they tried to add in a little bit more heart. And, you know, I'm coming into this, I am a big fan of both Cable, Deadpool, and the character of Cable, the comic Cable and Deadpool, is a big comic that got me back into the world of comics. So I was very excited for this, and I thought they really got that both of those characters pretty right and smartly did attention to who Cable is, because it's super convoluted. But I thought overall, and I thought there were some really good surprises, and still found ways to subvert the typical expectations of a comic book movie. So I there were some jokes that didn't land. I don't think it, for me, was as funny as the first one, or at least there were some misses. But I thought it might have in a way been a better movie, or at least a more complete movie.
I agree with a lot of what you said there. I think you're right, where this one is obviously not going to feel as fresh or maybe as inventive when it comes to the style and the tone, because it is going to be a lot of what you got in Deadpool 1, but I don't know how they would have not done that. So it would have been weird if we would have like all got to Deadpool 2 and it was a totally different type of humor or style. Like, that would have just been jarring. And I don't get, you know, a few of the complaints that I've heard as far as being, I don't know what people were expecting, if they weren't expecting the same type of humor and style, because that doesn't make any sense to expect something different from Deadpool as it's been set up. So I think it's expected. So maybe not quite as fresh and inventive, but I still think it had, you know, funny moments. It still had a lot of clever jabs and writing and stuff like that. But I think you're right. I think even though it might not have been as fresh from a comedic standpoint or a style standpoint, I think it's a better overall story, has more intriguing characters, and probably is a better complete movie than Deadpool 1, at least in my initial viewing of this film. So I think you know, there might be some cases of diminishing returns, but I think overall the sum is a better product for me, I think, than Deadpool 1, just structurally from that standpoint. Amanda, when you break down some of the characters that are presented in here, did you have any favorites? Obviously, we, like Dan mentioned, we have the addition of Cable as played by Josh Brolin. You do have some return characters, and you already mentioned one of them. We also get some small parts from Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Vanessa's obviously back. I can't remember the name of his...
Landlord?
Landlord, right off the top of my head. Karen something. Blind, I think they call her Blind Al, though, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have also some other additions. We got Julian Dennison from Hunt for the Wilder People coming in as Fire Fist. We have Zazie Beetz as Domino, and a few other characters as well. Which ones worked, didn't work? How did you like the characters and the actors?
I really, really liked Fire Fist, the kid from Hunt for the Wilder People. I loved him in that. I think that was a great movie. And I think a lot of his humor is a bit the same in this. And I think it works so well for him. Kind of like the thug life didn't choose him, you know, or he didn't choose the thug life chose him. I feel like that's his plight in life, you know what I mean? Like, he's not cool enough to be a gangster, but sometimes he does pretty gangster stuff, and he has a super gangster mouth. So I think it made for some funny moments with him, especially, in the lockup situation. And I felt for the kid, you know what I mean? And I think I really loved, was it Domino? I really loved her. She was cool. And I like that we got to see some more of the X-Men with the girlfriend. What's the girlfriend's name?
Dan, do you remember the Negasonic Teenage Warhead and her friend's name?
Yuriko?
Yeah. I just don't ever feel like we get enough of their powers, but we did get some cool stuff with the metal dude. What's that guy's name?
Juggernaut?
No.
Colossus,
yeah.
Spoiler, but, you know.
Yeah, Kevin, dang. My bad. I'm trying not to do spoilers here. And there, speaking of spoilers, I won't give it away, but there's a really cool moment in the X-Men mansion that I really liked. Super brief, but I enjoyed it. And there was a couple surprise new, like, mutants or people with powers. Like, the Skarsgård popping up. Like, I did not expect to see that, dude.
Talking about the X-Force?
Yeah, so I wanted to see more of them and more, like, show of powers. But that's just because I love mutants and stuff, so.
Dan, what do you, did anybody not work from you from a character? Or what were the standouts from a positive standpoint for you?
I don't think anyone didn't work for me, but I did like Josh Brolin's take on Cable because he was ultra serious. He's not, you know, he's not the most complex character in the world, but he had a good take on him because he works well when like, you know, being the straight man to a character like Deadpool. And in a way, it felt like Deadpool and him are in two different movies, but it works because Deadpool's aware of that. So I thought, you know, having them together was a good approach to it. So
I agree. I literally love Josh Brolin as Cable in this. Like Amanda said, Julian Dennison so far for me is 2 for 2 in the two films I've seen him in. I really liked him in both. I thought they did a slight improvement with Colossus. I thought that was slightly better than what we got in the first film. I think the only one for me that might have been less effective was Dopinder. I liked him a lot better in the first film than I did in this one. So if there was like one letdown or one that I thought was less effective, it would probably be that character. But that's such a minor part that it doesn't have.
He's becoming unlikable because he's becoming evil. Like
one character that didn't work, I didn't think he's on. It was T.J.'s Miller character. I don't know if it's because of everything happening to him in real life, or I just thought his, you know, he had a lot of the best lines in the first Deadpool movie, and I felt like that he was one character who felt they were trying to rehash a lot of the same stuff, you know, with all this weird comparisons, and it just didn't work as well. And his, like, you know, relationship with Dohinder, I don't know, like every time like he went for a joke, my crowd was pretty silent. So
yeah,
what's happening with him in real life?
it's a long story, but at one time he falsely accused someone for, I think, saying that they were going to blow up a train or something of that nature. And he did it on purpose, and there's other accusations against him. I don't want to speak out of turn, because I think he was part of the Me Too stuff, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong. But I know there's been a lot of things, accusations. I know he was arrested for that, but yeah, there's been some.
Gotcha.
You're talking about the guy that runs the bar or whatever, right?
Weasel, yep.
Yeah, Weasel, yeah. The guy from Silicon Valley and stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the characters that appeared in the first one were not, maybe it's more of a broad thing, like they shifted the focus away from them in a way, or didn't quite use them as effective, and kind of did much better with the characters that were new. Not 100%, that's not like, that doesn't work for every single character in the movie, but I definitely think there's a few that were less effective this time around, and newer characters kind of took more of that spotlight. Dan, what did you think of the X-Force overall?
that's funny, because like part of me was disappointed, but part of me thought it was kind of brilliant and the best scene in the entire movie. So
I guess without spoiling too much, Amanda, did you like the variety of characters we got in the X-Force and kind of how they all roll called in?
Yeah, I wanted more.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think a lot of, like, the displays of power and, like, the fight scenes and stuff, I'm like, well, I kind of want more. Except for maybe one, where it was just too much CG.
Gotcha.
But everything else, I'm like, we got to see 2 seconds of this person's power. And that looked legit, so why did we only get 2 seconds?
Speaking of CG, Dan, what did you think of the film from a visual standpoint and effects? Did it work, or?
What's weird about, I think, Deadpool is that it kind of works when the visuals don't look all that great, like how Colossus and certain characters look very CGI. It feels very schlocky, which is, I think, appropriate for Deadpool. So even though some of the CGI may not be as high level as some other comic book movies, it feels like it's fitting. Even it, like there was a really great moment with Domino that's a very CGI heavy scene, and I think it still generally works. So even though I know this was like a much higher budget than the last one, it still felt like overall special effects were, I think they did the job, but they weren't, I think, all that much more improved compared to the last one, which in a way I think makes sense because it feeling cheap is part of the joke.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I think, yeah, it gets a pass for some of that because it seems like it's somewhat intentional or somewhat fits the stylized version of what we're going for. Another question I had for both of you guys, I know you touched on it a little bit already, but Amanda, what did you think of the humor overall in this one? I know you thought the first one was maybe a little bit more chauvinistic, I think you said. So what do you think of the humor in Deadpool 2?
I mean, I already touched on how similar it was. I think some of the, I guess since you've already dropped the Juggernaut bomb, like, I think some of the stuff with him didn't really work. Like, it was, like, too vulgar. But that's the movie, you know what I mean? So it kind of made sense. I just don't think everything between, like, him and Colossus, like, landed.
Do you have any highlights that you thought were overly funny that you can remember? Or was it just kind of just some more of a general?
I think something that I should have thought was really hilarious that I didn't think was all that funny was the baby legs thing. I don't think that it was funny, but I don't think it was as funny as like as drawn out as they made it.
Gotcha. What about Dan? Did you think that there was any highlights from a comedic standpoint that really stood out, or was it just more of a general tone that was funny like the first one, or what do you think the humor as far as what landed and what didn't?
I thought the interaction between Cable and Deadpool, like I mentioned, I thought that worked well. Even Cable and the kid, Deadpool and the kid, I can't think of his name. Pfeiffer, as I mentioned, the X-Force scene. And Peter, he was to me a comedic standout. He had some really good moments. And I thought, too, like in the final moments, the use of there's a score, I'll just say that, and it was pretty ridiculous and juvenile, but it is a very juvenile type of sense of humor, and that may not be everyone's cup of tea, and I get it, and it usually isn't mine, but in this context, for some reason, it works for me.
What did you guys think of, because I heard a couple complaints of people as far as the opening credits and some of the things like that that we got from the first one with the comedic style of who's doing what and that like that. Was that, did that come across as already been done so it shouldn't be done again, or did you find it humorous with the way they handled the opening credits, Amanda?
I don't know. Like, it wasn't as awesome because it wasn't as fresh like it was in the first one, but I think that if you're going to do it in the first one, you might as well do it in the second one.
What about you, Dan?
I liked it. I thought it stayed in the spirit of the last one. I thought, you know, doing a James Bond parody and it, instead of it being like, just random jokes, like it was more of a running gag, that it was like, wait, what just happened? So I thought that commentary worked well enough. Yeah. I mean, I felt like they wrote themselves in the corner in the sense of if they didn't do it, people like, why wasn't there a credit thing? And I thought at least it tried to do something new. And I thought the parody of the John Bond, the James Bond opening credit scene worked well, and especially with that and Celine Dion.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. I kind of expected it too, so it wasn't something that was eye-rolling for me either. I think most of the comedy worked in the same vein that it did in the original film. I think the only times where I had a slight problem was where I had a slight problem with the fact that I felt like throughout the movie, characters that were not Deadpool were taking on his comedic style and joke, humor, where I get that might be somewhat of the point, but at times for me it felt out of place from a few characters where they were making, I get where you're going to be funny and have a sense of humor, but I wasn't expecting as many characters to be as, I guess, crass or crude, I guess, with some of the jokes. So that kind of threw me off a little bit. Maybe it was just that the jokes didn't land for me, or that I wasn't expecting it out of those individuals. I know there was one specifically that makes a joke about a cock ring, I'll say, and that one didn't land for me at all, because I'm like, this seems weird coming out of this character's mouth. Like, that wasn't Deadpool, so that didn't work for me. I don't know if any of you guys felt like that, or is that just kind of what you're expecting from a Deadpool movie in general? Or do you think it should be more contained to certain characters that it's their character to do that, or is it just okay for the whole movie to be like that, Dan?
I don't know. It's a good question. I feel like, I don't know, even when some of the other characters told jokes, like a Cable or something like that, it was done in a way that was, even if the words didn't really correspond with what you expect from them, the character, at least the delivery did. And so there was one moment that felt really odd to me. It was like there was a situation where they like all told a joke at the same time, and it felt weird because at that moment in time, I think Domino was in that scene, and she didn't seem like a character that was really quippy or anything like that. So it seemed like that was one of the moments where I felt like they were really forcing it in there, because she, you know, she was funny-ish, but she wasn't someone that was like telling jokes here and there. But I guess it does feel like it is of one voice at a time, which is not always great when it comes to a movie where it feels like all the characters are written by the same person. I don't disagree that was problematic on occasion.
Amanda, what did you think overall? Just anything you didn't get to talk about? Anything from the story standpoint, you know, the plot or kind of how this movie played out that you liked, didn't like, or kind of just like your final overall thoughts of the movie in general? What kind of grade would you give it?
I didn't like that the tragedy that happens so soon. And I wanted to see more of like their normalcy as like a couple, with him being in the, you know, dude killing business. And I get that it would have made the movie longer. Maybe that's where they wanted to cut something out as far as time goes, but I would have liked to see that. I mean, it was intriguing to me, and they had a cool relationship, so that would have been fun to see. Also, when are we doing spoilers?
We'll take a quick break and come back with just some final spoiler talk, but just kind of overall, I know you said you liked it better than the first one. What kind of grade would you give this one?
Like number score?
Just to get an idea.
I would give it like a 7.5. And also, side note, super cool scene when you see Cable in his timeline.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Dan, anything you didn't get to talk about from as far as the storytelling or plot or any highlights or lowlights?
Something like me and
my man. I think it's a pretty straightforward movie overall, and a lot of, without getting into some of the more spoiler difficulty. I did like how it incorporated the X-Men more. I do wish we almost got more of them, but I kind of can't get why they can't do that. I did think it was quite funny, just some of the running jokes about Cable being racist. That to me was one of the better jokes, because it's like just the commitment towards it. But yeah, plot wise, I thought it made sense, in the sense of I did like that they're like, okay, like what can we do, you know, to, you know, add some not levity, because this is all levity, but element of seriousness, and how it does tie into the F word of family, which it's difficult. I think that, like I said, that's ambitious. Maybe it didn't always work as well as I was hoping, but I think it added a little bit more to the character of Deadpool. And there was some of that in the first one, you know, with his relationship, but this one, it felt a little bit even more real. And I do think that I can see what Amanda's saying, because this I think has actually, weirdly enough, one of the better relationships in comic book films, and seeing it end as soon as it does, or even though it does linger throughout the film, was a little bit surprising to me. I was like, wow, that was not expected. I didn't think, I was wondering, because she was not in the trailers at all, so I thought maybe she just like wasn't going to be in this movie, but not realizing where it was going.
What about a score for you, Dan?
To me, it's 8 out of 10. You know, like I said, about, and that's about where I'd rank the first one. So I don't know where I would say which one's better than that rest. Like I said, I thought this one's a little ambitious, maybe, but the other one to me was a little bit more fresh and funnier. So I don't know. I'll have to watch it again to really determine that. But on initial viewing, I think I'd still rank the first one up a little bit higher, but it's very close. I think if you like the first one, I don't see why you wouldn't enjoy this one.
Yeah, I think that's a main thing. Like, if someone was trying to ask, like, what your opinion was of Deadpool 2 or if they should watch it, you know, whatever you thought of the first one or if you liked it or didn't like it, I would think it would be pretty similar. I know, Amanda, for you, it went up a little bit more maybe than some may expect. But I think if you're a fan of the first one, you're going to be a fan of the second one. I think that's pretty fair to say. So I'd be right in that same ballpark, you know, in that 7-8 range, somewhere in there. I think there was a few very, very minor issues, but overall it was what you should have expected from a Deadpool film overall for me. We're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to come back just to have a few minutes on spoilers in case there's anything that people wanted to say before we close out the show. So we'll be right back after the break.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it's Optimus Solo and
Hard Candy Mandy,
and we just wanted to let you guys know about another podcast out there that we both think you would all enjoy.
It's one of both of our favorite shows to listen to, and it's none other than the True Bromance podcast.
True Bromance is a movie podcast hosted by longtime friends Hiro and Barry, and if you like to smile, laugh, and just be genuinely entertained while listening to movie talk, then this is definitely the right show for you.
Each week, the guys break down a recently released movie, and not only do they tie in the movie that week to the beers that they are drinking during the show,
but they also tie it in to a real fun top and bottom five list associated with that movie.
It's a blast hearing both sides of these lists, and it definitely makes them unique amongst all other movie review podcasts.
So we definitely want to recommend all of you guys to go check out their show. Just search out the True Bromance Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and all other podcast platforms. And if you listen via iTunes, do us a favor and leave them a 5-star review. And don't forget to let them know that the Cinema Geeks sent you.
On the Simplistic Reviews Podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hello everyone, this is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay, yeah, thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
You can listen to the In Session Film Podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com. Listen to the In Session Film Podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
Now back to the show. Do you see how your patience paid off?
All right, Amanda, you're up first. Anything spoilerific that you wanted to talk about that you liked, didn't like, surprised, anything like that?
Can we talk about, is it the end credit scene? When they fix Cable's time traveling device?
Yeah.
And he just goes back and undoes every single thing that happened in the fucking movie?
Yeah. What did you think about that?
Confused. What happened?
It had some pretty funny moments in that. Obviously, the Green Lantern, is that the right?
Mm-hmm.
I was confused. Yeah, the Green Lantern aspect of it I thought was humorous. But you're right, it did seem like, okay, you just undid everything that you just did. Dan, what did you think of that sequence?
I thought it was funny. First seeing him, go back and kill the Deadpool from the X-Men movie. I was actually thinking they would go further with it and, like, fixing all the continuity weird stuff when it comes to the X-Men movies, because there's a lot of it, like, right, that doesn't explain certain things. I was kind of hoping they would go more of it. And I think it fits the line of Deadpool, because Deadpool is a character that, weirdly enough, never really learns anything. So even though he kind of went through that journey, he's like, yeah, but I'm still going to try to save her because that's what I want to do. So, and then to me, it's kind of cool because it's like they can have their cake and eat it too, because now she can come back to the other movies. So, yeah, I thought, you know, it was unexpected, but I thought, you know, I don't know if that's going to be something that they go with, or if it, you know, it in a way it doesn't make sense, which kind of falls in line with a lot of the X-Men after Singer stuff, which when you look back at it doesn't make sense, especially starting like X-Men 3, The Last Stand, where now Professor Xavier's alive because he's in the body of another person. So it's just, to me, it's like going even another step further with it, with how it fits into the X-Men movies.
Yeah, I thought it was very humorous. I wasn't really sure if it was just being played for a joke or if it was being serious as far as holding some type of weight in future movies. But either way, I thought it was humorous with what they did with that. Dan, other things spoiler-wise that you wanted to highlight that you either liked or didn't like?
Well, one, I think that we kind of already talked about it, but Juggernaut, I did really like that. I thought it was great seeing him in the movie. And once they hinted at, like, okay, there's someone else, some other big bad or what have you, like, okay, who could that be? I was like, it could be the Juggernaut, but they already did the Juggernaut. Would they do that again? And I'm like, I'm not sure. And I thought it was going to be, like, the Blob, which is this dude who's just, like, gigantic and fat because it would fit in line with Deadpool. They certainly have a lot of jokes for it, but and then the Juggernaut, I think, I don't know if it's his theme or it's Colossus's theme, but the, like, the ridiculous, like, take on their score with their fighting was kind of funny.
Did you think it ever got to a point where they were trying to juggle too many antagonists with, obviously you have Fire Fist kind of on the fence there, you have Cable who's kind of borderline good and bad at different times, you have Juggernaut, then obviously you have all the people at that institution which are the definition of evil. Did you think that it was too much at every time, or did you think they kind of balanced everything well because a few of them were kind of more back and forth?
I never felt like there was too much to me, because it all kind of felt in line. I assumed Cable and Deadpool would get together for some other reason eventually, and I never felt like there was too much. And once they, I thought, like, all it the progression of it, I think, made sense. Right. And then so some of those characters, you know, Juggernaut's like not the most developed character in the world. He's just big muscle. But yeah, I never felt like, you know, there's not a great villain in this, unfortunately. But it's kind of the way it goes. It's not really the focus. So, right. But yeah.
Amanda, what did you think of anything related to X-Men or X-Force that you wanted to bring up that would be spoiler wise? Were you surprised at some of the cameos in the X-Force? I know you already mentioned one of them.
Yeah, and like I said, dude, that was pretty cool when they showed that glimpse of all the other X-Men, like, in that room. And I'm guessing that's as much of an interaction between Deadpool and those characters as we're going to get. But it just shows that they're aware of him and they're, like, actively avoiding him, and that's why you never see them in the house.
Dan, what about you for any X-Men moments or the X-Force? Did you know everybody that was already cast in the movie, or were some of those people who were in that scene surprising to you? Or there was another cameo also in another part of the movie. I don't know if you picked up on that one.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them. Like, I had no, I didn't know they were going to be in it. I didn't know Juggernaut was going to be in it, which apparently he was voiced by Ryan Reynolds. I didn't know that. I'm trying to think of some of the other people that were in it. Like, Brad Pitt, his cameo, or Alan Tudyk and Matt Damon. Yeah, like, which is now, I guess, Matt Damon's just going to show up in Marvel movies like he did with Ragnarok and now this. No, I had no idea that any of those were coming. So I, the Vanisher being Brad Pitt, I thought was quite legitimately surprising. And Terry Crews. I knew Terry Crews because he was in the trailer. I thought he, because it was Terry Crews, he would have a bigger role than he did. And no, he died rather quickly.
I think it died was perfect.
And speaking of going back in time, I think it's really funny though that he went back in time and saved Peter and no one else. And like, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, I think having Brad Pitt as an invisible person, you know, the Vanishing Man is just about as perfect as it gets.
That was Brad Pitt for real.
Yeah. They wanted him to be in the movie in a bigger role, but they couldn't because of scheduling. So he literally filmed his vanishing scenes, it says, in like 2 hours. He was in and out, and it was all post-production. So he just like showed up for 2 hours, and they did the Vanishing Man sequence where they show his face, and that was it.
I didn't see his face.
Yeah, they show it when he gets electrocuted and he falls.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't put two and two together.
Did you notice that it was Matt Damon and Alan Tudyk, the two rednecks sitting in the back of the truck drinking?
No.
And talking?
No.
Yeah. So I thought they did a clever job of disguising some of those cameos pretty well. Amanda, Dan, anything else spoiler-wise that you guys want to talk about, or did we hit all the highlights there?
I think we did.
Yeah?
I got nothing else.
All right, so that is our take on Deadpool 2. Overall, positive for us. I also, the other running joke that I forgot to mention that I somewhat appreciated was the Frozen song joke. That Deadpool kept going with, so I thought some of that was pretty clever too. I guess in final thoughts as far as Deadpool goes as a franchise, Dan, where do you want to see this go from here? Do you need to see another Deadpool 3? Would you rather see him kind of in conjunction with other groups, or do you think this is enough of this character?
I don't know. Deadpool going through time, like if that's something they actually do, I think that would be kind of fun. I don't know. Like, could you put Deadpool in, like, an X-Men movie? I don't think you could. I don't know where they could go with it, but, like, my thought is something, like, where it's through time or something like that, or maybe more of a team-up with Cable and Deadpool. I don't know. It's a good question.
Or do you think they could expand on this whole X-Force thing and give it another go with a possibly different group of people? That could be something they do. It's hard to see them going in. You know, obviously we do have to deal also with the deal between Fox and Disney and how that could impact things too. You know, there's been some speculation on if Disney would do too much with that rated R version. It seems like they're not afraid of that. It seems like they said that they would do that as long as it was advertised as rated R. They wouldn't have a problem with making that film if everything else falls into place. But I don't even know if that merger is... happened 100%, or if it's in limbo, or
it's in limbo, and possibly Comcast might step in, which would be awful in my opinion. Yeah. For a lot of different reasons. I actually would love to see like a Domino movie. So if they do another X-Force, that's possible because there's a lot of characters, even though they killed off a lot, there's still a lot from that world that they didn't really bring in. X-Force is always kind of like the X-Men that would kill. They had a little bit more 90s edge to them, so it could possibly work if they made it more of a team up movie in some way.
Yeah, I think so too. As far as the box office goes, I mean, Deadpool did well. It was the first film that dethroned Avengers: Infinity War as far as the top of the box office. So obviously, it's dealing with a lot of competition with Avengers and Solo: A Star Wars Story, but. You know, it's definitely making its money. Critical response, it's currently got an 83% on Rotten Tomato. Metacritic, it has a score of 66, cinema score grade of A. A lot of critics giving it a pretty high score. Amanda, are you done with Deadpool, or do you need to see him again in some way, shape, or form?
I'm not necessarily clamoring for anything else, but I know that he's not going away.
All right. So that's it for Deadpool 2. We'll have more film discussion on Solo, A Star Wars Story, as well as our wrap-up of our video game spotlight. Those are the next two episodes that you guys will be hearing. So definitely stay tuned for that. Dan, what do you have currently going on over at the Comic Concierge?
Up recently, I spoke with Matt Stewart. We're actually going over a few comics. We're looking at Howard County and a new book revival. And I've also been putting up some reviews and stuff on YouTube, because we're trying to get more YouTube content out there. You can also listen to this podcast now on YouTube, because I know some people prefer doing that. So, keep chugging along.
Yeah. Also, we do want to keep you guys updated that you should probably keep an eye open for the Facebook page or the Twitter handle for Geekcast Radio, because we have a pretty big episode coming out here in the next probably 1 to 2 weeks where we're doing an overview of the history of the entire network. So some fun statistics and kind of a trip down memory lane that we're going to kind of highlight 9 years of the Geekcast Radio network and how many podcasts we've done, how many people we've featured on shows, how many episodes people have done. There's going to be some interesting content coming in that episode, so stay tuned for that. But other than that, that does it for this week. Tune in next time for another chance to listen to the Cinema Geeks.